I'm the Gypsy, and you're not, and this is the Rubber Biscuit Road Show, presented by Artist Alley Studio, featuring the artisan, handcrafted, and branded creations of the Gypsy and Mad Hatter at www.artistalleystudio.com. And now, on with the show. Welcome to episode 27 of the Rubber Biscuit Roadshow. I am your host, the Gypsy. Well, just a couple of days ago, we had Mother's Day, and I bet you can't guess what I spent all day thinking of on Mother's Day. That's right, pizza. Spent all day long thinking about pizza. Man, I love pizza. All kidding aside, yeah, I do love pizza. I mean, and I think about it quite a bit, but no, I was thinking about mothers. You know, mothers come in all shapes and sizes, short, tall, big, small, round, flat, mean, nice. I mean, you name it, there's a mother for every single situation out there. My mother just had mental health problems. And, you know, we dealt with it as we could. And it was funny, you know, I kind of always had this visual picture of, you know, my mom being like, you know, June Cleaver. But, you know, unfortunately, she wasn't. Actually, my grandmother was more like June Cleaver than my mom was. And my grandmother treated me like a mother. So when Mother's Day came around, I always said Happy Mother's Day to Grandma. I'm sure a lot of you say Happy Mother's Day to your grandmas, too. And I said Happy Mother's Day to my mother. And it just a tough thing, you know. And I've got children, and they, of course, have mothers. And you know, it's really odd. None of those mothers turned out to be June Cleaver type either. I don't honestly think there's a June Cleaver type mother out there anywhere. If there is, I would be just absolutely surprised. It just does not happen. Television paints this beautiful fantasy about what a mother should be or how she should be. You get your June Cleavers and your Donna Reeds. And the truth of the matter is that mothers are just human. And as I said just a couple of minutes ago, you know, some of them are good and some of them are bad. Some of them have no business ever having a child, such as Casey Anthony. Personally, I think she should have been sterilized, but that's just my personal opinion. The thing about bad mothers is the irreparable damage that they do to their children. It's a horrible thing. And the thing about good mothers is all the good that they do for their children. It's really sad, though, sometimes when a good mother goes bad, and it does happen, unfortunately. But that's life. And the thing of it is that when good mothers go bad, that could be like a show on Lifetime, I think. They usually have some sort of mental health issue. And that's usually the bottom line of it. And that's the time when, you know, help needs to be had for these people. Now, something that really concerns me, of course, everybody knows about this controversy over the leak out of the Supreme Court on Roe versus Wade. Don't know what's going to happen with that. I'm not even going to speculate. This is just one big cluster of a mess. It's just, it's stupid. It's ignorant. I am upset, though, however, that Trump's Supreme Court nominees basically lied during the Senate hearings for their confirmation. But that's another story for another day. You all know what's happening. You're all watching the news. I want to get back to this abortion issue. Now, I am a strange sort of animal. I am a pro-life Democrat. And what I mean by that is I believe that abortion is a medical procedure, but it's an emergency medical procedure. I believe that it should only be used in the case of rape or incest or non-viability outside the womb of a baby or to save the mother's life. Those are the only four instances where I think it should be allowed. To use it as birth control, that's totally wrong. It boggles my mind and it breaks my heart to think about somebody going out and killing a baby because it's their body, their choice. Yeah, it's your body and your choice. However, there's another human life you have to think about, and that's one inside of you. You don't want that human life? That's fine. Put that human life up for adoption. But if you have no good reason, no emergency medical reason for terminating that life, then what you're doing is selfish. And that is one thing that is just really, really hard for me to swallow, is people being selfish. In this it's all about me society, sometimes it isn't really all about me. Sometimes it's about others. Others being even unborn children. Those are others. You got to start thinking about other people. And it's funny, I feel like I'm going to echo a sermon that I just heard at church, but it's true. I've thought this for years, that if you want to truly be happy, you have to think about others before you think about yourself. That's where true happiness comes from. It's something that comes from deep inside. And think about this. I'll put this into perspective for you. When you give a gift from the heart to someone you love and you see them smile and you see how much they appreciate that gift, how's that make you feel inside? You weren't doing that for yourself. You did that for that person you cared about. And when you saw how happy they were, you were happy too. When you see a baby take its first steps and you're there to witness it and you can see the joy on the baby's face, and maybe you're the parent witnessing it, or maybe you're just a friend or a relative that happens to be fortunate enough to be there to see it and see the parent's face light up, how do you feel? It's not about you at that point. It's about that baby, and it's about those people around that baby and how happy they are. See, when you start thinking about others, it brings true happiness inside you. But when you're only thinking about yourself, where's the happiness? You know, there's no happiness there. Oh, I need to win the lottery. That's all I think about is winning the lottery. Well, really, that's all you think about is winning the lottery. And what are you going to do with that lottery? Oh, I'm going to use it for good. Really? Well, statistically, most people that win the lottery are broke in 10 years. And I doubt very seriously if very much good was done with the lottery winnings. However, you know, if you win the lottery and you start doing a whole lot of good with it, well, not only will you be rich financially, but you'll be rich in all the things that matter, which is thinking about others and doing good for others. My entire life, I guess, I've strove not to be selfish. And I admit it, I'm selfish in a lot of ways. I am selfish in a whole lot of ways. I think about myself quite a bit. And I think about the what-ifs, you know, in my life. I know I'm not supposed to. I shouldn't be thinking about what-ifs, but I'm human and I do think about what-ifs. But the thing of it is that I try to counterbalance that as much as I can. And I definitely try to do for others whenever I can. And I'm not going to sit here and blow my own horn and tell you about all the different things I've donated to and all the different volunteer efforts I've done in my life. That would be being about me. That'd be being selfish again. Anybody that knows me knows the things I've done. You want to know the things I've done? Do an internet search. I'm all over the place on the internet. But the thing of it is the point, I guess, that I'm really trying to make here is that I try to counter my selfish nature. Did I say that right? Sound like it came out weird. I try to counter my selfish nature by doing things to help others, to where it's not about me, but it's about others. And I hope it works. You know, I talk to God daily. I really do. I've I speak with him every day, and sometimes my prayers are probably a little redundant on his ears. But, you know, I always try to make sure that when I talk to him, and after I ask him for the things that are important to me, which usually amount to his protection and his guidance, those are the things that are important to me, and those are the things I usually ask for. I ask for others. I ask for my wife, who, as you know, is going through cancer right now, and so I ask for things concerning her, and I ask for me to be able to give blessings back to others. That's an important thing for me. If there's somebody that needs a special prayer request, I pray for them. But the thing of it is that I try to talk to God on a daily basis, and it makes me feel good. It makes me feel really good, because when I talk to him, even though I'm asking for those things, his protection and his guidance from him, I'm asking for things for others. I'm thinking about others. I'm not just thinking about myself. And that makes me feel good. And then when I see God answer those prayers that I've asked for others, well, I tell you what, it's the greatest feeling on the world. It's a great, great feeling to see a prayer answered. I'll give you an example. Just had a prayer answered here this past week, and it was really a surprise to wake up on Tuesday morning, or was it Monday morning? I guess it was Monday morning. Wake up on Monday morning and have a tree service in the empty lot next door to me. Now, you know, that don't sound like a big thing to you, except that I have been asking the owner of that empty lot forever and a day to please take down the tree that was hanging over our house. So this tree was leaning so badly towards our house, I just knew one good storm, ground soft enough, it'd uproot and it'd take out our roof. Plus the main branch, one of the main branches was inching towards our chimney, which had me really concerned because we do run our fireplace in the wintertime. So that had been something that I'd prayed about because the owner just didn't seem to be doing anything. Well, here I get, on Monday morning, I get rudely interrupted over my coffee, hearing all this noise outside. I walk out the front door, and here's this tree service with this faux crew in the lot next door. And they're not just taking down the tree that's overhanging my house. They're taking out a tree that's actually on my property line that I had offhandedly at one point mentioned to the landlord. I'd said, or landlord, I don't have a landlord, I own my house, the landowner. I had briefly mentioned to him that if that tree disappeared, it wouldn't hurt my feelers any, because it was what's called a trash elm, and they're just horrible. They just, branches die and drop into your yard, and they just make a big mess all the time. Well, here they are taking out the trash elm, and this was a big tree. And I was like dumbfounded. And then there's a 100-year-old tree smack dab in the center of this lot, and they're over there trimming off the dead growth off of this 100-year-old tree and making it look a lot better and making it a lot healthier. And I'm just dumbfounded, because here is an answer to my prayer in abundance. I just want the tree gone that was hanging over our house. But now they're removing one that's been a thorn in my side forever and a day. They're cleaning up this 100-year-old tree, which I never want to see that tree disappear. It's a beautiful, beautiful tree. Anyway, it was an answer to prayer. God answered my prayer. It had been a long time since I had talked to the property owner about getting that tree taken out, but not only did he instruct them to take out that tree, he instructed them to take out the tree that was causing me problems and clean up the 100-year-old one. So God does answer prayers. He answers prayers in his own time, I found out, but it made me feel really good that he had answered that prayer for me. There are so many examples of God answering prayer. I gotta say this, I just gotta come out and say this. I cannot believe that anybody would be an atheist. I don't understand that. You don't believe in God. You cannot look at a baby and say you don't believe in God. Oh, that's just biology. That's, you know, evolution. No, bull. Bull. I can't believe you're looking at a baby and saying there is no God. I can't believe that you look at a puppy or a kitten and say there's no God. Have you ever, seriously, you people that claim to be atheists, have you ever taken just a moment to pick up a leaf off the ground and closely examine that leaf? You can say whatever you want to, but I'm telling you what, the design of that leaf, what went into that leaf, that's just not nature. That's a grand design, and I'll argue that with anyone anytime they want to. God is one of the greatest. He is the greatest artist ever. Look at the Badlands. That isn't nature taking its course. That's a work of art. Look at the mighty Amazon forest. That's a work of art. Mount Everest, that's a work of art. I could go on and on and on about all the beautiful things that God has created. You sit there and you watch the trees change in the fall, and don't tell me that, oh, well, the sap is going down to the roots and the leaves aren't getting nourished, so they just change colors. Really? Well, that's the scientific explanation. But the other explanation, when the one that I prefer, is that God made sure this happened not only to protect his creation, the trees, but to also give us this glorious and beautiful color display that you can't see anyplace else. You know, there's an old saying, and I hold it to be correct. I would rather believe my entire life in God and his power and then die and find out I was wrong than to not believe in God and his power and die and find out I was wrong. You see my point? So, atheist, maybe it wouldn't hurt you to have a little bit of faith, you know, because someday I am sure you're going to need that little bit of faith. It's going to be important. It's going to come along, and you will definitely need it. I cannot help but go through this life and experience so many beautiful things and believe that there is a God and that there always will be a God. And that this creation that we call Earth, the creation that we call our solar system, that sits within our galaxy, that sits within the universe. Sorry, that didn't just randomly happen. There's divine intervention there, and I always believe that. A lot of you know, and I'm kind of jumping around here, but I'm still in the same vein, I think. A lot of you know I'm an artist. Now, when I sit down to paint a picture or draw a picture or whatever I'm doing art-wise, we'll just take painting, for instance. We'll just use painting. So I sit down to do a painting, and I have something in mind. I know what I want to paint. I know what's in my head. I know this is what I want to do. Okay? And then I sit down, and I paint it, and I don't know how that happens. I'm serious. I do not know how I paint. I do not know how I know to blend the colors. I don't know how I know what brushes to use. I don't know how I know what strokes to use as I'm painting. It just happens. It's like I'm looking at the canvas and my hand is doing all this work. Now, my hand's talking to my brain and my brain's talking back to my hand. And it's just going, but I'm not sitting there thinking, oh, I need to do this stroke, or I need to do this here, or I need to do this here. It just happens automatically. And I don't know how. To be really honest with you, I don't know how that happens. And it's funny because when I get done with the painting, what I originally had in my head isn't what's on the canvas. It never is. I mean, it is, but it isn't. So let's say I set out, I'll just use this as an example off of one of my recent works. Let's say I sit down to paint an armadillo. Yes, I painted an armadillo. I haven't posted it yet, but you all will see it soon. But I sat down and painted an armadillo. And I had this thing in my head concerning this armadillo, the way I wanted this to be. And the way it hit the canvas came out totally different than what I had in my head, yet what is on the canvas is actually better than what was in my head. How does that happen? I have no idea, but it does happen. And, you know, that's a God-given talent. I believe that's my hand being guided when I sit down to do art. And, or whatever I do in life, I always believe that there's a guiding hand. and I try to listen to the guiding hand, because sometimes I pay the price if I don't listen. Good example is when I ride my motorcycle. Yeah, I know. We've gone all over the place. We've gone from Roe versus Wade all the way to motorcycles now. But when I ride my motorcycle, okay, I do things instinctively on my motorcycle, but I always try to trust my gut feeling. And I believe that's God talking to me inside. There's times when I get ready to go ride my motorcycle that something don't feel right. And I don't ride my motorcycle. I leave it in the garage. I'll be out on my bike. I'll be riding my bike. And let's say I'm heading to the studio. I'm heading down to the tattoo studio. I'm going to work. And I go the same route every day. And then all of a sudden, something inside me says, you need to go this different way. Well, I don't ignore that voice. I listen to that voice, and I go that different direction. And because there was a time that I ignored that voice inside, and I paid the price for it. In May 3rd, I mean 5 days ago, or what? No, not 5 days ago. It would be what? Six, 7 days ago, a week ago. May 3rd of 1980, I was coming home from work on my motorcycle. I was catty corner across the street from my house. And I approached the corner, and I saw this car coming up the street, and he had the stop sign. I didn't. And I thought to myself, he's not going to stop. Then I thought the stupid thing, oh, I can make it. Well, guess who didn't make it? That's right, little old me. And he caught my leg in between his bumper and my motorcycle, and I ended up laid up for 6 months. He actually got away with a hit and run. I hope he's happy wherever he's at. God bless him. But, yeah, the cops didn't do anything because his daughter testified that he was that he couldn't see well enough to drive, and that his license had been suspended, and there was no way he was possibly out driving around. My leg says different, but, you know, God bless him. Hope he's well. Or, well, he was an old man. I hope he did the right thing and was able to go to heaven. But that's neither here nor there. The point that I'm making here is that I did not listen to my gut. I ignored my gut, and I paid the price for it. My gut is God speaking to me, or my guardian angel, or however you want to say it, but there's a divine intervention there that says, hey, you need to do what I'm telling you to do right now. And we all need to listen to that. There's the gut feeling, that old expression, like, oh, gut feeling. Well, your gut feeling is divine intervention. It's your guardian angel, or it's God, or something other than yourself is telling you, listen to me, do what I'm telling you to do right now, okay? And this goes all the way back to caring more about others than we care about ourselves. If we only care about ourselves, when we get that gut feeling, we're going to ignore it. We're going to go, oh, I know better. No, I'm not going to follow that gut feeling. Why should I follow that gut feeling? I'm smarter than my gut. And then something will happen. And you turn around and you go, oh, I wish I would listen to my gut feeling. Well, again, if you had listened to your gut feeling, if you would have thought about something other than just yourself, just your selfishness, you wouldn't have ended up in the jam that you were in. Right? Right. So, do me a favor. And try this out, because it isn't a hard thing to do. Try thinking more about others than you think about yourself. When you pray, if you pray, and I hope you do, when you pray, pray for others. And if you're praying for yourself, don't pray for things like, oh, dear Lord, I hope I get that new Nintendo Switch, or, oh, dear Lord, I really want that brand new pickup truck, or, dear Lord, let me win the lottery. Don't pray that way. When you pray, make sure that you pray for what's important. Just like I do. God's protection, God's guidance, and pray for others. And if you're in doubt on how to pray, Jesus told us what to do. He gave us a guideline. The Lord's Prayer is not a repetitious prayer. It is a guideline on how to pray. That's right, a guideline on how to pray, okay? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. To break that down into simple terms, you address God. Then you sit there and you ask for the important things. You ask for his guidance. You ask for his support. Yes, that he provide for you, that he cover your needs. Then you ask that you are able to show forgiveness for others. And actually, it don't hurt to name those others that you're forgiving. You know, dear Lord, please help me to forgive Joe Jack Wacky. Please help me to forget Joe John Wacky, his brother. Please help me forgive Jane Wacky, his wife. I mean, it really don't hurt to mention other people's names that you're wanting to forgive. You know, God knows your heart. He knows who you're wanting to forgive, but voice it. There's power in that. Seriously. There's absolute power in voicing those people that you want to forgive that have done you wrong. And then, you know, pray that they forgive you too, because you know what? You're not totally innocent in it. You know? And then praise God. At the end of the prayer, praise God. That's what Jesus was telling us with the Lord's Prayer. He was giving us a guideline, a textbook on how to pray. And I hope you all pray every day, and I hope you pray unselfishly, because I guarantee you, if you do, you're going to be a very happy person. I promise you. Anyway, that's about it for this episode of the Rubber Biscuit Road Show. I know I got kind of a little bit on my theological side today, but, you know, these are things that have been on my mind, and what else is a podcast for but to kind of spout off what's on your mind, right? But anyway, this is your friendly neighborhood gypsy saying may God bless and keep you and yours. Later, Gators. Bye-bye now. Visit the Rubber Biscuit Roadshow online at www.rubberbiscuit.com. That's www.rubberbiskit.com. The Rubber Biscuit Roadshow is produced by Tatman Productions, LLC. All parts of this program are copyrighted, all rights reserved. No parts may be published, reproduced, or used without the written express permission of Tatman Productions, LLC.